It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. And I was waiting for the whisper from the Andre 3000. One, two, three, four. And started the song, and then I realized it was the instrumental.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
That's all.
It's all right. It's a Vibe Check Tuesday. Vibes are good. Playing Andre 3K. However, it is... Watching that tape, Anthony, is the most frustrated I've been with this team all year. And I say that as kind of a good thing. Because the expectations are higher. That is good. It means something. I do think that this team, like, there is a good chance they come out and they just, they're playing with their hair on fire. And the Eagles are good. So I'm going to stop myself short of saying they come out and dump truck the Eagles, because I think the Eagles present some real challenges that I'm real nervous about. That has to do with the Eagles. But if there was another non-top 10 team on their schedule this week, if there was a team on their schedule this week that is in the Carolinas, the Clevelands, the pick your team, I mean, even someone better than that, who's an interesting but not good enough team in our tiers?
I think the Falcons.
If they were to play the Falcons this week, there's a chance they would just annihilate them because of how ticked off they must be after watching that tape. And we'll get your vibe checks here on the phones at 301-230-0980. But, like, watching, I told you yesterday before the show I had watched the offense. And I will say the offensive tape is more frustrating than the defensive tape in a way, because this weird thing happens when you watch the film of a game. It's silent. There's no crowd. There's no announcing. If you don't pay attention to it, like, it's just play after play after play. You almost lose sight of time, score, situation. Luckily, the way the NFL Pro setup is, which is where the platform I use, like, I actually have a score graphic and a time graphic, and I've started to take more notes on time, score, situation stuff to try to keep myself engaged in the situation of the game. Because what can happen is you kind of just become numb to play after play after play, and it's like, that was good, that was good. Oh, that was bad, that was good, that was bad. Hey, they scored. And you realize that the two bad plays that happened on defense were on third downs. And you're like, well, dang, that's not good enough. And so offensively, there's all this stuff that's so close. You're just like, man, can you block that dude for another half a second? Or like, man, Jaden, that's the right decision, but why'd you have to throw the ball 100 miles an hour? Or man, Zach Ertz, he hit you between the 8 and the 6. Could you, I don't know, catch it? And you're just frustrated. And as a fan or an analyst watching it, it's one thing. If they're watching, like if Zach Ertz is watching it, he's going, Zach, he hit you between the 8 and the 6. Could you, I don't know, catch it like you have pretty consistently for 10 years in the league or however many years Zach has been playing. So there's just like all these plays that are right there to be made offensively that they've just been making all year at a much higher clip. And the Steelers are a good-ass defense. And they do some things that were really, really clever and really, really executed well to the point that, like, if you know, I was taping something with someone this morning for another show, a TV show, and they were like, you know, did the Steelers say do something that other teams could maybe figure out? And I was like, sure, if you can install their scheme and play it to the absolute highest level of execution with players that are abnormally good at their jobs, no. If that was that easy, then everyone will do it. Or everyone would do it. And so that's the offense. The defense is frustrating for a different reason, which is that snap in, snap out, they played really well. Like, they won so many more reps than they lost. Where their coverage is locked down, the rush is pretty good, they force incompletions, no one's open. The run defense was pretty good, but then penalty here. And, like, some of them are just dumb penalties. The chin roughing, that's brutal. Like, that's a killer. Then, oh, we got a mental mistake. We got a 3rd and 8. We're up 10 points at the start of the third quarter. We're about to force another punt and a 3 and out. And here comes Frankie Louvu and Bobby Wagner on a what looks to be a green dog blitz. So green dog blitz, at least it's the terminology that I'm familiar with. They might call it something else, and there's different ways you can play them. But essentially, you got two guys that are assigned blitzing. And if the back stays in, both of them actually blitz. If the back, who one of those guys, which I think in this case is Frankie Louvu, you got him in man-to-man, so I guess it's easier to explain it that way. If the guy that you have in man-to-man stays in, you blitz. Don't just let him stand there and help other people block. Go get him. And you go blitz. And if he goes out in a route, you play him in man-to-man. And Jaylen Warren, like, flashes like he's going to block, slips past Frankie Louvu, and as he's getting mashed in the face by Louvu, Russ, boop, dink, right to Jaylen Warren, who runs it for 26 yards, I think. And you go from fourth and eight in a punt to massive gain. Two plays later, Pickens picks up 34 on the weird play where he catches it's like a short slant or like a long slant, short post, dig, some kind of in-breaking route, and then dances and prances through defenders because he doesn't know how to run. He just jumps over everywhere. It's a weird bit, but it's effective. And then they're on the goal line, and then they score. And you're just like, you had a third and eight and a second and 20, and it ended up in a six-play touchdown drive or seven-play touchdown drive? That's infuriating. Obviously, St. Juice on the 39 late. It's 39. 39 is great, unless you play flat-footed and let a dude run right by you. And, like, you know, the touchdown to George Pickens to start things. I was so mad on Sunday at Noah Igbinoghene. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, what? That's a joke coverage-wise. Watching that back, I apologize to Noah Igbinoghene. Anthony, I wish if we were on TV, we would do a demo right now. We're on the internet, on video, and we're in separate rooms, so I'll do my best to describe it. But, like, you know what it means to, like, play through the hands, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, right? So if I'm going to catch the ball here on my right shoulder as a receiver and you were to be the DB, you would go to where my hands are. And Noah Igbinoghene is perfectly right there, ready, just waiting for George Pickens' hands to go up based off his body position to catch it. And then he's going to punch up through the hands, and he probably knocks the ball out, and he probably gets a PBU. It's really good coverage. No complaints. Except for the part where George Pickens is an alien from outer space and changed his entire body position and went from catching it over here to snatching the ball outside of his body over here and uncovered himself in midair in one of the sickest catches I've ever seen in my whole life. It's like, what do you do with that? Be sad? So, like, down in, down out. Defense played well. Down in, down out, offense left, I think, a lot of stuff that they have done well this year. Simple stuff that could have advanced their cause. And then, obviously, that doesn't even mention special teams were like, hey, OZ, we got to catch the punts. And they got lucky on the fake that dude drops it. So, it's just, I hope that they find a way to take the, assuming that they feel similarly to I do, and the way I'm guessing some of or many of you do, the anxiety, the anxiousness, the like frustration with that game, channel it and just go, I'm ready to, because we've all had moments like that where you do something, you know you messed it up, and all you want is another shot. Well, they got another shot on Thursday, and that shot is a different shot. You don't get to play well and then actually, hey, sorry, oh, wow, great redemption. Take that loss to Pittsburgh off the board. Now you're actually, you get two wins for beating Philly. No, but you can't get one. And it counts kind of double in the division because of where they are at 7-2 and where you are at 7-3. So it's going to be a fun one. It's going to be really, really challenging for reasons that we'll get into maybe starting a little bit today and certainly tomorrow and Thursday on the show. But, man, what a frustrating... It feels like times of old in terms of just, like, very silly... It's not even silly, though. Like, it is different. Substantively, I know intellectually it is different. But where you're just like, gah! But I guess this time, instead of gow, why don't they ever do it right? It's like, gah, they are so close to doing the things they've done all year. And that way, it almost makes it more frustrating. The great burden of expectations. So how are you feeling with all of that? 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. It's the Hoffman Show and a Vibe Check Tuesday, and we're taking your calls next. It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Check us out on YouTube if you like, at the Team 980. And of course, if you miss any part of the show, we are on demand anytime, anywhere, via the free Odyssey app. Within 24 hours, you can actually rewind. You don't even have to go searching through podcasts, anything. Just rewind, and you can listen to any part of the show, pick up the show from the beginning, from the middle, from somewhere in between, somewhere after the middle, and listen straight through. Or you can check out the Hoffman Show podcast wherever you get yours. It's a Vibe Check Tuesday here on the Hoffman Show, where we take your calls at 301-230-0980. How you feeling about the Commanders after this loss to the Steelers? Let's get started with Ron. Ron, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Craig, how you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. Thanks for asking.
Good. Now, I don't know if anyone has brought this perspective. I feel good after the loss, not because we lost, but because of the way that we've looked in all three of the losses, comparing all three. All three teams, at the time that we played them, were good teams, although Tampa Bay is really injured right now. But if you look at our Tampa Bay loss, that we looked the worst in that loss, although, albeit it was the first game. In the Baltimore game, we looked a little better. We played a better team, but we were more competitive. But at no time really during that game did you feel like the Pittsburgh game, like, wow, we really are probably going to win this game. In the Pittsburgh game, we played another good team, excellent coach. But during that game, everyone thought that we really were going to win. So I'm looking at the progression of how we're looking during our losses. We're going to lose. We're not going to be perfect. I'm looking at how they handle it, how they come back from each of those losses. Each time after we lost to Tampa Bay, we came back, we went, and we won some games, some consecutive games. The same thing with the Baltimore game. I believe we're going to lose one more game this year. We're going to lose a game to Philly, and I don't know which one, though. And I believe we're going to win out based on the remainder of our season, because we're getting progressively better and learning how to deal with the losses that we've had. That's my take.
Ron, I think it's a really mature response, albeit I will say optimistic on the one more loss thing, just the sheer numbers of it all. But I appreciate the call and I appreciate the perspective. And I don't think it's wrong on the analysis in terms of, you know, we can quibble with a conclusion of just how good they'll be the rest of the season compared to their opponents. And will they never slip up? And what if they do? And blah, blah, blah. But they have consistently gotten better week over week over week. Their offense obviously was not as good this week. And there are some things that are regressing offensively that I think they're capable of fixing. But, like, the screen game has completely kaputzed. And that's a little concerning because it's a big part of what they do. It's a way they keep their offense on schedule. It's a way that they generate big plays. And they can't get a completion to the right guy on a screen, off, you know, running back or tight end or receiver, a bubble screen, a slip screen. Like, they can't screen anything right now. So that's a problem. Can they fix it? This is the question. Defenses are on to the fact that in certain situations, Kliff really likes those plays. Like in the fringe red zone, you know, you get about 35-yard line, alert screen, and bang, there it is. So how do they counter that? Or do they call them in different situations and get that explosive part of their offense back because they call it on a 2nd and 7 from their own 28-yard line as opposed to the same situations they've been calling them in at, on the plus 35 all year long? So there's these tendencies and things that they need to snap out of and self-scout, but still offensively, like, pretty good. And I think defensively, like, they're up to 6th in the league in pass defense. 6th. And their run defense isn't exactly getting gashed every week anymore either. And it's been a pretty linear trend. Not that they won't slip up, not that teams can't get them. And, you know, Saquon and Philly make me nervous. A.J. Brown and Philly make me nervous. But they have been, the product is better week over week, and that is ultimately what you're looking for. And the fact that they've won 7 out of their 10 games is, I think, a lot better than most of us thought they would do. at this point in the season. 301-230-0980. Let's go to Dontell in Frederick. Dontell, what's your vibe on this Vibe Check Tuesday on the Commanders?
Oh, man, Craig, what's going on? I'm trying to keep it positive.
You can do whatever you want, Dontell. It's your vibe, not mine.
Right. I'm just saying, I'm a Commanders fan to heart, man. But, you know, I'm just not as optimistic as I was, you know, a few weeks ago just because, let's say, pre-trade deadline, because I thought for sure that we would go out and we would get another receiver. I don't understand how they don't see this. That if we got another receiver to complement Terry, because the rest of the guys are just mediocre that we have, and I don't know why people are trying to make them more than they are, but if we had somebody, this offense could outscore any offense that we come up against. Our defense, it is what it is, and I was willing to wait to next year for the defense because we need too many pieces on defense. And if we just got the offense right, and we'll just be able to compete and score with the best of them. But now, since we didn't make that move, I think our offense is starting to show. They're dropping balls. I mean, it's not just one guy. Everybody, they dropping balls. You had McCaffrey drop a ball. You had Brown drop a ball. Ertz even dropped a ball. You need somebody elite, and that's what we need. And we can be right there with anyone.
So here's the thing I would ask you, though, Dontell, is like, I don't disagree that another elite wide receiver could change this team, like, for the better. But they are also currently fourth in the NFL in scoring. They're 29 points a game. They just put up 27, even with all of those drops and Jaden being shut down as a runner in a way that I don't know that he will the rest of the year, because I don't know who else has personnel to do what Pittsburgh did to him. So, like, need another wide receiver? I think again, it's you're allowed to have your take. I'm just, then we debate the take because that's how sports radio works. Like, I don't know that I would go as strong as they need another wide receiver. Like, would they take one? Or would I take one? Yeah, absolutely. But I do think that maybe to your point, the reality of, hey, like, Noah Brown's done a really good job this year. Luke McCaffrey's, you know, hasn't had the production, but he's been open all the time and then finally gets a ball thrown his way and it's a little bit behind him and it hits him and he should have caught it. You know, Diami had a nightmare game. He's been great in his role this year, but he had a nightmare of a game. And maybe if everyone is a little bit better, that happens less often. But I think if I were to list the problems with this team, I don't know that wide receivers... Maybe it's in the bottom of the top five, but it's certainly not number one on my particular list.
Yeah, but it's just the fact that they're not requiring double teams to free Terry up more. Terry's taking all the heat. So Terry could be Terry times two if we had another receiver on that other side, and that's just what I'm saying. Our defense is going to give up points. I mean, so I'm just trying to outscore everybody, and we almost have that offense that can do that.
I hear you. I hear you. Terry times two, considering he's third in the league in receiving yards, feels a little bit of like an overstatement, but I get your premise, and I appreciate the call. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Let me actually look at something real quick that I got this up. By the way, the Commanders are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13th. So they are top half in scoring defense. I am curious, though, where they are in yards. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. So, is that yards per game? Did I do that right? Yeah, that's yards per game because they haven't had their bye yet. So, yeah, in yards per game, they're 14th. Points per game, they're 13th. Like, considering those numbers were in the bottom five of the league first couple of weeks of the season, I think that's pretty good. They're trending in the right direction. But ultimately, this is a defense that will bend but don't break, except for the times that they do break. They were holding bad offenses in the teens, and it's going to be on the offense to carry them. And I think that's another part of the game on Sunday that's probably pretty frustrating for Dan and for Joe and, you know, for Cliff too, is they've worked together real well and their units have worked together real well all year. They've played complementary football all year. They haven't turned the football over. Special teams has been super solid, and the offense has been able to sustain drives that allows the defense to be fresh. Well, what happened on Sunday? They didn't sustain drives the way they have all year. They had turnovers, including one on special teams, and the defense was on the field a lot, and it buckled down at the end. And so that is something that I think needs to be preached. I think defensively, like, you got to finish. That's where I'm at with this defense. Is they had three quarters of pretty solid play, 3.5 quarters of pretty solid play, and then they give up that drive at the end, and that's frustrating. But that's football. But it's a little less, hey, that's football, and like, hey, this is a bit of a flashing light, a warning light, when it's happened in multiple games in a row, where in the last half of the fourth quarter, other teams have been able to, even in Chicago, right? Chicago turns it on, they just overcome it with a Hail Mary. Carolina breaks the shutout in the last couple minutes. Some of these other games that have been a little closer, where you got a little bit more survival, even if the offense ultimately takes care of it and wipes away whatever in the end. So, all in all, you know, the Giants, same thing. Give up a drive, and then the offense just, you know, melts away the clock. They take a knee at the 1 yard line to close it out. So, can this defense finish? I think that is definitely a question moving forward. They're improving. They're going the right direction. That is the next step. Offensively, can they regain the sharpness that they had earlier in the season, where they're still producing, but it is not nearly as good of a performance on Sunday as it has been previously, albeit against probably the best defense they've played so far, which does seem like a relevant plot point. And again, I'm going to say this every so often today as we go through this and take more of your calls next at 301-230-0980. It was a one-point game. Let's not overreact to a one-point game, even if it feels really bad. 301-230-0980 is that phone number on a Vibe Check Tuesday on the Hoffman Show. It's a Vibe Check Tuesday on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Coming up at 5 o'clock, Tischler Tuesday, live from Ashburn. Commanders are on kind of a funky schedule, as you might imagine, today. So Dan Quinn has already spoken, so has Jaden Daniels. You'll hear from them in the pick six at 6. But the locker room opens actually a little after 5:30 today. So we will talk to Mitch Tischler before he goes in and tries to find out all the things that he wants to know in the Commanders locker room. Talking to all the players and blah, 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 blah. So we'll get to all that coming up in a little bit. What are we doing at 5:30? Oh, Jaden Daniels, Tape Tuesday at 5:30. So looking forward to that coming up as well. Right now, though, it is a Vibe Check Tuesday at 301-230-0980. How you feeling about the Commanders? Let's go to Kevin. Kevin, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
I don't feel bad about the loss the other day. It was more we beat ourselves than Pittsburgh did anything. And this is what we've known since St. Jude's been a rookie. I think he'll make an excellent special teams gunner.
Are you trying to like get a? Are you trying to be a troll and just like get a rise out of me by talking about Benjamin St. Juice?
Man, he's burnt toast and coffee every week, bro. Every week. That's how you know things are really bad for Emmanuel Forbes if he can't get in the field behind St. Juice. St. Juice would be an excellent gunner.
He probably would be a good gunner. He tries really hard. He's physical. And he probably actually would be a decent gunner, except for the part where his biggest problem is lack of top-end speed. So your little burn and dig at Juice is actually you telling on yourself that you don't know a lot about football.
He gives up two touchdowns a game. You defend a guy that gives up two touchdowns a game?
He doesn't give up two touchdowns a game. I'm not doing this. Like, if you just want to be a troll, then call another show. Let's go to Trio. Trio, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, Josh, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Good. First time caller. Just want to give my viewpoint. First and foremost, want to be known. I am a Steelers fan. I'm born from Pittsburgh. However, I lived almost exactly half my life down Maryland. And to see the culture change from what it has been after the years of RG3 to now is just amazing. It got guys believing in the team. Because, like I said, I'm from Pittsburgh. When it rains, it pours with us when them Steelers lose. And so to now finally you guys got a guy to where he can command that offense and he's on a rookie deal so you can really, truly build around him and put the pieces in place to build. Sunday's loss should not be looked at as a negative. That should have been a litmus test for you guys because, yeah, that was the toughest defense you're going to play for a while. Like, we are going to have, when I say we, I mean the Pittsburgh Steelers, are probably going to end the year with not the number one and number two defense. And if we're number two, Kansas City's probably going to be number one. We have our own litmus test coming through our schedule. We just did y'all in. Now we got our entire division to go through on top of Kansas City on Christmas Day. So, but speaking about the Commanders, all I can say is build around Jaden Daniels. He is a baller. He needs another pass rusher. I listened to the last caller about the other superstar wide receiver. Look at what we did. Everyone was saying the same thing about our receiving corps. George Pickens, he's barely a number one. Calvin Austin's a number three. Van Jefferson's a number four. All you need is the right guy at the right helm pulling the trigger. And you guys finally got him. Keep him upright. Keep him healthy. Let him have a healthy 10-year career. And I guarantee you guys can see a Super Bowl out of it.
Yeah.
Got to build that back into that defense. And only other one thing I will say is I love Dan Quinn. I love Dan Quinn. But for whatever reason, as a head coach, he can't get it done. Like 28-3 in Atlanta.
Of course it shouldn't have happened, but he was in the Super Bowl.
But he's in the Super Bowl where he's a defensive coordinator, and everybody knows if you're a fan of football from day one, you run the ball and play great defense, that's how you win in the playoffs. You are up 28-3. Why are you throwing that ball against the greatest quarterback of all time?
That was very, very silly, and Kyle Shanahan hopefully has learned from that, and hopefully Dan has learned from that, and Dan has done a lot of soul-searching.
Clearly not. He still kind of makes some of the same mistakes.
They're 7-3.
Twice. You could have put us away twice the other day.
On what plays? I've watched every single all 22. Tell me what run.
Not even fumbled. It was ripped away from Jaylen Warren at the 1 yard line after we drove that ball down the field and ate 7 minutes off the game clock. There was 7 minutes left on the game clock in the fourth quarter, and he ripped that ball away from Jaylen Warren at the goal line.
Yes.
Y'all should have milked that clock, and that should have been ball game. But instead,
your defense made plays.
You tried a freaking trick play on a 3rd and 9.
It was a 3rd and 15. What's your good play call for 3rd and 15?
A halfback draw, and you played good defense because you guys were keeping us contained.
So they had a play that lost them a couple yards, and then Trustway pinned you deep. Like, what are you talking about?
It changed the whole trajectory of the game. If you would have sat there and just continued to run the ball, it would have chewed up more clock. It would have been a more favorable possession for y'all. That's all.
What do you mean, chewed clock? When De'Ami Brown caught the football, he then got tackled and the clock continued to run. It was already 3rd and 15. Literally, what the hell are you talking about? Is this like troll Craig and try to see if he'll blow
not
up
even.
On a caller? I'm not doing this anymore. If you don't know what you're talking about, believe it or not, you don't have to call the radio show. He made so many good points and then went off on that? Do you get what he's saying?
I don't.
What is it with Steeler fans in this town? Last week it was Big Tony. Now, I'm going to pull up that sequence because... Do I have my backpack in here? No, I don't. I don't have my notes on... It's in the other room. All right, hold on. We're gonna suss this out.
I think what he's talking about is the play we got away with a hold in the end zone.
No, he's talking about, he said the De'Ami throwback, trick play. With 7 minutes left. Where is the play-by-play of this game? Play-by-play.
I don't think that took place in that juncture of the game.
So they get the fumble.
Yep.
It's a punt.
Yeah, throw it out.
Afterwards, they go Chris Rodriguez up the middle. That's a run. They go Rodriguez up the middle again, and that's the hold where John Bates gets called because Trent Scott leaves him out to dry. It's now 2nd and 8 again, and Jaden just misses Luke McCaffrey wide open for what would have been a 50-yard gain, and then they try to actually convert on the 3rd and 8 instead of running the ball. All that would have happened is, okay, more clock runs. Pittsburgh then goes down and tries to, and scores on the next drive. So Washington then gets a set of downs that they would have had less time on. No, the problem wasn't that the play calling. The problem was they didn't convert. They didn't execute. Trent Scott made a mistake, which happens because he's a fourth string tackle. And there's a penalty, and it sets you back. And then earlier in the game, the 3rd and 15, which is right before that drive, they hit Terry on a deep ball. They run the ball. They have the screen that gets botched, I believe, is the Jaden Daniels sacked for minus 11. Because Cliff probably needs to stop calling so many screens on the fringe red. That is something that it seems like teams are onto. I'm sure he is self-scouting that, and it's not going to be news to Cliff Kingsbury. And then they try the 3rd-and-15 throwback deal. Or whatever the Casey Hayward sack was. So could they have at that point in the game? Sure. But that's also literally the drive that crosses the threshold into the fourth quarter. You're not running out the clock at that point. It's a six-point game. You got to try to play football. So congrats, Steelers fans, on back-to-back weeks at almost the exact same time. Because wasn't it about the end of this segment, the 4:30 segment on Vibe Check Tuesday last week that Big Tony called with the dumbest call in the history of this show?
Yep.
Also about running the football. Do Steelers fans not understand how clocks work? Except for the fact that they seem to call onto this show and make me feel dumber like clockwork. Anyway, it's Vibe Check Tuesday and it's going great. More of your calls next. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980 as well. Talking Commanders with you at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. It's a Vibe Check Tuesday. How are you feeling about the Commanders? Let's go to Bill in Arlington. Bill, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, this is not trying to troll the host. I think it was St. Just turning the sun, got called out on a couple of calls. But the issue is the cornerback side of the house needs help. And you know that because they went out and signed somebody.
100%.
Fantastic. But until that happens, someone's going to get exposed, and we end up with too many plays that are either uncovered or pass interference defensive holding. There needs to be a thing, you know, such as a contested catch. And to me, that game turned on that issue and a couple of drop balls by our receivers, who probably is another area where we could use, you know, another number 1.5. And so I don't think that's a vendetta against any particular player. It just happened to be somebody's turn in the sun, is my view.
No, Bill, I think that's 100% accurate. And to be very clear, like, I think there is plenty of room for criticism of Benjamin St. Juice, of the receivers, of the other corners, like of plenty of places on this roster. And I've been fairly amazed at how they've hidden a lot of those weaknesses. And Bill, again, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Like how they've hidden a lot of those weaknesses and leaned into players' strengths and really set up what we all acknowledged coming into the year was an understaffed roster to succeed, which should be exciting in the biggest of pictures. Cause it's like, damn, they're doing this with kind of patchwork free agency stuff, a couple of key signings, guys like Luvu, and one draft class that's killing it. But also, you're not immune to the fact that this draft class is still rookies. And like Brandon Coleman had a nightmarish game on Sunday. Nightmarish. Really bad. Okay, he's a third-round rookie. It's his second ever full-time start against Alex Highsmith, who's disgustingly professional. Like, just an absolute pro who knows what he's doing. And he gave Brandon Coleman the business. Okay. He'll learn from it. He'll get better. I have no qualms, concerns, whatever, about Brandon Coleman long-term based off that. I don't think anything got figured out about Brandon Coleman. I think he got went up against a really good defense and a good player and a good scheme. A couple times they got him on assignment-based stuff because they brought interesting pressures that they haven't really shown a lot this year. And as far as St. Juice goes, like, my issue is twofold. One, when people get really personal, because that's uncalled for. Like, these are human beings. Yes, it's sports. Yeah, you can boo. You're like, I don't even mind booing. Boo all you want. But, like, calling dudes bums or whatever, like, that's just, what are you getting out of that? What is missing for you that is what fills up your soul? Like, come on. We don't have to do that to a guy who, by the way, shows up every day, works really hard, but beyond that is accountable. This isn't a guy who ducks responsibility. It's a guy who after the game stood in front of a group of reporters that I was in and answered every single tough question with honesty and thoughtfulness and knows he has to be better. It's not news to Benjamin St. Juice that was not good enough on that 3rd-and-9 or on some of the other plays that were made against him. The other area where I get bothered and annoyed is when people then say ridiculously wrong things to try to go after him. Which, like, oh, he'd be better as a safety. Oh, the guy who lacks ball skills and seems to have a problem getting beat deep should be a safety? Great job, analyst guy. Good job, YouTube commenter. You really showed that you know a lot about football. What are you talking about? No, wrong. Oh, he'd be a great gunner. He'd try really hard. That's who Benjamin St. Juice is. But a dude who's 6'3", kind of lanky, and doesn't have great top-end speed? No, he actually probably wouldn't be your ideal gunner. And by the way, those positions are filled. Like, Percy Butler's one of the best gunners in the league. Jeremy Reeves, excellent. What he does on special teams out of the PP position. You know, their other gunners are really good. So, like, quit trying to solve problems that don't exist. The current problem for him, and like, let's be accurate with the criticism. Benjamin St. Juice's ball skills are terrible. Like, bottom whatever percentile you want to say in the NFL. If so, you want to call up and say that, I'll be like, yep. When the ball's thrown his way, if it's on target, receivers seem to find ways to make plays, and he can't make a play on the ball. And that's an issue. It's a huge issue. Also, down in, down out, if I need a guy to be in the right position to maybe discourage a throw from even happening in the first place, of the three main guys that are playing, Benjamin's the best one they've got. He's better than Sainer still, who got beat a couple of times and Russ missed the throws. Noah, same thing, got beat, Russ missed the throws. Like the PBU that Noah makes down the field, great recovery, excellent job out of Noah, but it's an underthrow. And if Russ puts the ball where he puts the ball later on Pickens, on BSJ, it's a completion, and it's an incompletion for BSJ. Like, swap the throws, and it's the exact opposite results. That wasn't anything the coverage did. BSJ had better coverage for 98% of the down on a completion than Noah did on 98% of the down on an incompletion. But the last 2%, one's a perfect throw and one's an underthrow. Noah winds up with a PBU. And by the way, his ball skills are better. Fine. Willing to admit that. And St. Juice winds up with the ball going through his hands into George Pickens' hands. The consistency with which that happens is a huge problem for BSJ. No defending that. His tendency to freeze up in big moments and kind of forget all that great technique he plays with the rest of the game is a huge problem. But when you call the show or leave a comment or whatever that is like, this dude's a bum, he should play safety, like, all you've done is out yourself as a goober. Don't do that. You don't have to. You can just say he's bad at the things he's bad at. There's plenty of bad there. But it is why they went and got Marshawn Lattimore. Because they know it. They know that that's a problem area for them. They need dudes who can make plays on the ball to play how they want to play. They need guys that can trust in man coverage that, hey, the quarterback's going to get rid of it because he's about to face a ton of pressure. That ball is going to be up in the air for a play to be made. And they can't trust Juice to do that. And they shouldn't trust Juice to do that. Which opens up a bit of a different can of worms in terms of the play calling. But I think sometimes you have to take those shots. And Russ missed on a lot of them. He hit a couple of key ones. And that can be the difference in the ballgame. We don't really have time for more calls, unfortunately. But I do want to say this because people like to bring up Emmanuel Forbes. Anthony, are you ready for a pop quiz?
I am indeed.
Well, that's good because you don't really have a choice. It's the nature of a pop quiz when you're the producer on the show where the host goes, hey, anybody want to do a pop quiz? You're the only other person working on this show.
Yes.
Did Emmanuel Forbes play on Sunday any defensive snaps?
Yes, he did.
How many did he play?
Two.
What happened? I think one was the fake punt.
No.
No.
He had two defensive snaps.
I know, but they listed a bunch actually, of dudes.
Because he was out there for special teams as well. You said defensive snaps.
Yeah, no, I know. But like on PFF, he's listed as having two defensive snaps. And yeah. I think one of them is the fake punt, though. I think there was only one true defensive snap. Unless there was two. I'll look it up in the break.
It was two.
Okay. Well, in one of them, he got smoked on an out route. And Russ didn't throw it.
You talking about the tight end? I think it was the tight end.
Yeah, I believe so.
That one, and then it was another play. He was in for two because I think I was surprised to see Sainer still was out.
Right. Mikey went out for a short stretch. Maybe they were back-to-back plays.
Yeah.
Here, tell you what. I can do this.
I made sure to, like, note that because I'm like, why is Forbes?
I was on field. He was on field. Wow. He had more snaps than I thought. Looky here. He was on field for a 2nd and 10, in which case he doesn't, and not involved in the run play at all. He was on the field for an incompletion of Van Jefferson that goes away from him.
Yeah, so that's the out route you were talking about.
Yeah, and then he got
shot.
He gets smoked. Yeah, he doesn't. He sets the edge on the run where he doesn't actually make contact with anybody, and then yeah, he gets beat bad on an out route, and it wasn't a tight end. It was Calvin Austin, and there was pressure on the play, and Russ just throws it past Van Jefferson out of bounds deep. Mm. So, two plays for Forbes, one pass play. And that's why he's not on the field. So that you want, why can't Forbes get on the field over BSJ? Because BSJ's most downs, pretty good. Forbes, not so much. Mitch Tischler joins us live from Aspen next.